Please stand as you are able for the service of confession and absolution found on page 1 of your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God,
from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading comes from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with the 7th verse. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die from his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from Romans, the 13th chapter. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel this morning comes from St. Matthew, beginning with the 18th chapter, beginning with the first verse. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, that every charge may be, then you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the sermon hymn on page 4 of your bulletin. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, well, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So there's some pretty strong words coming from Jesus this morning, and as a father and a high school teacher, they kind of hit home a little extra hard. You see, as a campus pastor and a teacher, I get to spend a lot of my time around children, although I'm not sure I would classify them as little, seeing as a lot of them are bigger than me. But the children I do get to spend my time with, again, they aren't really little children anymore, but they're people on the cusp of adulthood, people about to take the final steps towards the transition from kids to grown-ups and to go out into the world where they'll go to college, they'll get jobs, they'll get married, and God willing, have little children of their own. And yet what I'm quickly discovering is that appearances can be deceiving, that even though these kids have the bodies and in some cases even facial hair of adults, a lot still remains of what makes them kids. They tend to be emotional. Some of them lack maturity, at least the maturity that we expect of adults. They're fickle and they change their minds and sometimes friends or maybe even boyfriends and girlfriends very easily and very quickly. And even though they're stubborn, they are still very impressionable. And I don't mean to say that to be patronizing, because I see it as a good thing, right? It is so hard to get an adult to see things from another point of view, to consider another perspective of things. But children are less resistant to the possibility that they might be wrong, even if they refuse to admit it, which in my experience they usually do. You know, we pour so much time into our children because they are so impressionable, so open to new things. We want them to be successful. We want them to have the good job. We want them to have the spouse with the white picket fence and the requisite 2.5 children. We want to see the diploma on their wall and to be able to brag about them to our friends. We want what's best for them. We want them to have the good life. And so very often we find ourselves taking them to soccer games on Sunday instead of church so they have a chance at the scholarship. We let them take on crushing amounts of debt so they can go to a college where their Christian faith is constantly mocked, ridiculed, and maligned by professors who hate them. We encourage them to put off marriage and children. There's plenty of time for that, no need to rush into things, until they have the good job with the good salary, at least whatever salary is left over after making their student loan payment. And then we act surprised when they marry someone who isn't a Christian and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren go unbaptized. Granted, it's possible to do everything right and still have that be the case, but I would argue that the scenario I just described is far more common, at least in our society here today. You see, here's the reality, and this is the reality that Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson. We tend to be, as adults, as parents, as humans, we tend to be selfish when it comes to our children. All of us as individuals, society, everybody. You know, we tell ourselves that we want our children to succeed in life for their own sake, when really I would suspect that it's at least a little bit so that we can go and convince ourselves and have other people think that we were good parents. Our society likes to talk about our children's futures as long as their future as voters, taxpayers, and mortgage holders. Our vision for our children is so limited, and it's obscured by the earthly care and concerns that we have to the point where we are sometimes more concerned with whether or not our kids get into Stanford than whether or not they get into heaven. In our gospel reading today, Jesus condemns our selfishness. He condemns our short-sightedness and our unwillingness to love the children in our lives as he does. On the contrary, Jesus holds up a child as an example to us. As the disciples bicker and argue and ask Jesus who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus holds up a child and says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." If you recall, he says something very similar to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus mocks him, asking if it's possible for a man to be born from his mother a second time. And we have similar questions for Jesus, perhaps. How can we become like children again? And even if we could, why would we even want to? Why would Jesus want us to be immature and whiny and always wanting things our own way? To which I would answer, there is nothing inherently childlike about being immature and whiny and wanting things our own way. Most of us adults seem to do that just fine. No, Jesus is talking about something else, telling us that whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Say what you will about children. There's plenty to say. I have three of them. They are sinners, after all. But they tend to know that they are not the ones in charge. They know that they are not the greatest in the household, even if they act like they are. They are not the greatest in the household, let alone the kingdom of heaven, because they trust that those over them, their parents, their grandparents, their teachers, love them and want what's best for them, that they'll take care of them and they'll keep them safe. They haven't lived long enough to become like us, always suspicious and cynical. They're humble enough to trust, and it is that trust that Jesus says will make them the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus isn't talking about maturity or size or whininess, all those things we associate with small or large children. He's talking about humility. He's using the image of the child as a way to rebuke his disciples and us, who like to think of ourselves as greater than we should. Humility that sees itself as a small child and not as a big, important adult, tells us that we are not in charge, that there is someone else who knows better than we do. Humility leads us to trust this person, this Jesus, that he loves us and wants what's best for us, which is an eternity spent in the presence of him and his Father. And if we want to see what this humility looks like, what it means to trust and love unconditionally, we need look no farther than the man who is speaking to us this morning. We look to Jesus, who came himself as a small child, who, even though he is God incarnate, humbled himself to learning in the temple and obeying his mother. Jesus, who humbled himself to eat not with big important people in palaces, but to eat with sinners, prostitutes, and tax collectors. Jesus, who loved us to the very end, loved us so much that he humbled himself to death, even as Paul says, to death on the cross, so that we could be forgiven our sins, sins like selfishness and self-importance, and be welcomed into our Father's house. Not as servants, but as children of our Heavenly Father. That the Father of Jesus Christ would become our Father as well, and we would become fellow heirs with him in glory and in everlasting life. This is the humility that Jesus calls us to. It's a humility that realizes that our greatest responsibility to our children isn't to make sure that they get into a good school or find a high-paying job, but it's to raise them in the fear, love, and trust of the Lord, and that in this respect, they never grow up, but they remain children. And so should we. It's a humility that realizes that no matter how much we love our children, and I love my three children very much, that there is another Father who loves them more than we ever could, that our precious children ultimately belong not to us, but to him. It's a humility that recognizes that the greatest thing, the greatest, most important thing we could ever do for our child isn't co-signing that student loan or demanding that they get straight A's. It's bringing them to the baptismal font. Humbly entrusting them to the God who made them, who became a child for them, who bled for them, and who died for them. The God who will raise them as well, as he takes this creature dead in sin and brings it out of the baptismal water as a very much alive child of his heavenly kingdom. In short, it's the humility Jesus calls us to is a humility that brings our children to him. You know, like I said, I don't have very romantic ideas about the supposed innocence of children. Again, I have three at my house. But my kids, for all their faults, place all of their trust in the fact that I, with all of my faults, will always do what's best for them, even though I regularly fail to do so. This is the childlike trust that God calls us to, not to trust in a fallen man, not to trust in a sinful man, but in a perfect one, the man Jesus Christ, who does love us perfectly and never fails to do what's best for us. This is the trust that we are called to model for our own children and grandchildren in the hope that they will do so for their children, and so on until our Lord comes again. So thanks be to God for his humble faithfulness to us, the people who don't deserve his humility or his faithfulness, and who loves us as the dear, beloved children that he calls us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. I invite you to please stand. Blessed Lord, you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst of them. Hear the prayers of your people and grant our supplications. O Lord, grant to your people courage, that with boldness we may speak your name and witness and warn sinners, so that they may come to faith and repentance and so enjoy the forgiveness of their sins. Give your church wisdom and strength by your Spirit, that she may be steadfast and unmovable in your word and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, be present among your people to serve us with the gifts of your grace, and grant that we may receive them with joy. Give to us faithful pastors and church workers who will minister to us in your name and strengthen our faith and life together as your baptized people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, give to us good and honest leaders who will govern according to your word and will. Give us grace that we may not fail to pray for those who lead us and to act as good citizens and good neighbors to one another. Give peace to all the nations and bring an end to violence, prejudice, and racism. Guide us to know and respect all life, from the infant in the womb to the youth beginning maturity, from the mature to the aged. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, thank you for your care through fellow citizens who care for us. Bless and guide them. We pray for firefighters, law enforcement, medical personnel, those who serve in the military, utility workers and food producers, utility and emergency workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you send rain upon the earth and turn the seeds into plants rich with fruit for harvest. Accept our thanks and praise for your continued goodness in providing a harvest and food for us, for all. Give us seasonable weather for the work and give us wisdom so that we may use your resources wisely and extend your care to those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you are the strength of the weak, the healing of the sick, the comfort of those who grieve, and the peace of those near death. Hear us on behalf of Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Henry, Isaac, Julie, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, the daughter of Julie, Bill, Jason, Lori, Sue, Deborah, Becky, David, Brian, Kathy, Pastor Rockroar, Pastor Shui, and Pastor Berlin, that they may be sustained in their afflictions, comforted in life and death, and delivered to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us,
O Lord, who cry to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom with the Spirit you are one God and one Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.
O Lord,
our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.